Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I do like some of life's little surprises sometimes. It would be terrible. It was never predictable. I was always predictable, you know, and everything was always, you know, just like we imagined it should be, you know. The Lord is good. Let's go together in prayer here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for this privilege, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you for this privilege, Lord. Oh, God, you've been good to us, Lord. You've given us much, Lord. It does say, to whom much is given, much is required. Lord, I pray that you'd help us here tonight. Lord, whatever you want to get through with this message, I pray that it would come forth, Lord. Oh, God, you know all things. You know every need. Oh, Lord, you know every individual. Lord, you know every circumstance. God, I give it to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I bind and break the powers of the enemy, Lord. Oh, Lord, I take power over them in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, I take authority over it. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your riches and glory, O Lord, your goodness to us. Oh, Lord, your ways that are above our ways, oh, God, your thoughts that are more than our thoughts, oh, God. And we thank you, oh, God, that we can come before you, Jesus. We pray that you would work here tonight, Lord, that you work in our hearts, oh, God. Oh, God, that you would grant forth your will in this message, oh, God. Lord, give us ears to hear. Oh, God, give us eyes that would comprehend and see, oh, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you, Jesus, and praise you in Jesus' name by the power of the blood. Thank you, God.
Amen.
Okay, praise the Lord. I did get surprised today. I had worked on my message last night, and I'm quite sure I was at least halfway through and maybe greater than that, and had a telephone call this morning, and Sister Shirley, ever since I talked to you, if you're online, I just had another thought entirely, and it just seemed like this is what the Lord wanted me to speak tonight. So I am departing from Romans this evening. Lord willing, I will be back there next week if the Lord wills, and I'm looking forward to that, actually. But he did change things on me today. So with the Lord's help, I'd like us all to go to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, and I'm going to read a few verses here. The Lord being so good to us, oh my, and what would we do without him? There would be just no hope in this world. Oh my, we would be, of all men, most miserable not to have the Lord Jesus in our life and in his saving grace and power. He has changed us and redeemed us, and wow, we have so much to thank him for. Again, I'm so thankful for everybody that's out here tonight. I am so thankful for our online ministry. I'm so thankful that the Lord is here, and I know we are late here tonight. We had problems with the mic, and sorry about that. So here we are. We're starting at about 7:45, a little later than that, actually. But here we are in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, and I'm going to read a few verses. I'm going to start with the very first verse here, and then go on. It begins by saying, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm going to stop there. And I'm just going to go back here just a little bit. And the thought that the Lord has given me for this service is laborers together with God. Laborers together with God. And here we see clearly here in the church at Corinth that there were a few problems. And Paul really desired to teach them a little more deeply than he was able to. But there were problems in that church. There were envyings and strifes and just debates and that kind of fighting and striving between each other. And therefore, he wasn't able to feed them spiritually like he would have liked to. He could go into the really deep things of God because they just weren't ready for it. They were back there at a carnal stage. And that was too bad because there is so much in God's Word. There's so much deepness in God's Word. And wow, I mean, it could take certainly years and years, a whole lifetime really, to get in the place where God would have us to be, to have that spiritual maturity that he would like us to have as his children. But you know what? We have to lay aside some things. We have to get into a place where God can move in our lives and where little things disappear and are unimportant. And here it seems there in the church of Corinth that they were kind of just having, oh, like this little debate, and some were saying, well, I was baptized of Paul, and some were saying, I was baptized of Apollos. And, you know, it was like, it was a conflict, and, you know, what did it matter? If they were baptized into Christ, that was the important detail. That was the significant thing. It wasn't who baptized them. That wasn't the big issue at all. It didn't matter. And here in the fifth verse here in 1 Corinthians 3, it says, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Do you know what a minister is? A minister is a servant. A minister is a servant. That might surprise some of you. But let's go to Matthew 20. Let's read about that word minister. Matthew 20. You know, in God's kingdom, we all have a purpose. We all have a place. And there's not one person over another. And let's, again, we're going to Matthew 20. Let's look here. Let's look at the 25th verse to begin here in Matthew 20. And, of course, I'll be going back to 1 Corinthians there. But here it says, but Jesus called them unto him, verse 25, and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And again, that word minister means servant or assistant, helper. And then he goes on. He says, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Again, the same word, really, minister, servant. And verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Oh, that's why Jesus came. He wasn't going to be a big shot. He wasn't going to have people wait on him. He wasn't going to give orders and expect everybody to fulfill them as he was some kind of executive or something. He came to minister. He came as a servant to help people, to show them the way, to lead the way. And it says to give his life a ransom for many. That's why he came. Who else could come with such a purpose? I mean, here he was, God in the flesh. He left heaven in order to come to earth to minister, to be a servant, to help people. And, you know, he compared it to the princes of the Gentiles. They exercise dominion over those that they're over. You know, and that seems to be instinctive with them. You know, they have that authority, and they show it. And, you know, they have their people under them, and boy, it's declared. And, you know, that's just the way of the world. But Jesus says, it shall not be so among you. That's not the way. He doesn't want a hierarchy. He doesn't have one big shot, big chief at the top, and then expect us all to be subservient to that individual. He puts us all on the same level. We're brother and sister in the Lord. We're all one in Christ Jesus. We're one body. We're his children. And we all are to minister. We're all to be servants. And that's what God has called us forth to be. We're to be ministers. And just, again, we all have a place and a purpose in the kingdom of God. And it's beautiful. It really is beautiful that our Lord Jesus would have such a structure, not like ordinarily, but something unique unto his kingdom, where he would place us all brethren in the Lord, laborers together with Christ. And why it's so precious. Also going here to Romans, the 12th chapter, and I just want to just complete that thought a little bit here too. If we look at the fourth verse, it goes on to explain. Verse 4, Romans 12. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. And everyone members one of another. And then having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor or hate that which is evil. Cleave or cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. Praise the Lord. And then just other beautiful details here. I'm looking at verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. In other words, we're all on the same plane. We don't bow to each other. You know, we all need to respect each other as brothers and sisters. The Lord has made us one body, but we do have different gifts. You know, it would be so boring if we all were the same, but God gave us all our several abilities and gifts according to what our particular needs are or how he can best use us. And what a beautiful plan that is that the Lord has put in place for his body, his church. So then just going back here to 1 Corinthians 3, it says here in this case that now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are all laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, you're God's building. Wow, I was just thinking about that a little bit. You know, God wants us to work together with one mind and one accord. And it says here that one might plant and one might water, but, you know, it's all what our particular place is or what he's called us to do as individuals. And it doesn't matter. It's all the same thing. We're working together. But it's God that gives the increase. None of us can go out and save a soul. You know, it's got to be God that calls an individual and talks to that heart and gets them ready. And it's God's work. If he uses us at all, it's because of what he is doing in us. It's not us. Our works by any means, our own works would be filthiness in God's sight. If our own righteousness cannot save us and the things that we would do in ourselves. And as we know, as we studied there in the book of Romans, that we're not saved by works, as many people try to make out salvation with works, but we're saved by grace, that saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who called us and made us laborers together. And now just looking at that ninth verse here in 1 Corinthians 3, it says, we are laborers together with God, and it says, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. You know what a husbandry is? It's a cultivated field, or it's a garden. And I thought it was so beautiful here that it's expressed as us being God's garden. And I couldn't help but think in the beginning, God planted the Garden of Eden, and it was perfect. It was beautiful. You know, it was complete. It was, you know, it had everything it needed to fulfill man's needs and desires. It was God's work, and it was beautiful. But now God has his church as his husbandry or his garden. And isn't that beautiful? We all have a place in his garden. And then it says, you're God's building. And I couldn't help but think in the times of the Old Covenant and the Old Testament that there was a tabernacle plan. And there was then a temple as Solomon built the temple later. And that was significant then at that point. But now we are God's building. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And that's how God has designed it. It says, as a wise master builder, and you know, it's beautiful. The foundation has been laid, and we all have to be careful how we build thereupon. But praise the Lord, the point that I so want to stress tonight is that we are laborers together. We all have our position in God's kingdom. We all have a job that he would have us to do. And it's so beautiful that our Lord Jesus Christ came. He came as a minister to serve his people. Oh my, to give his life even as a ransom for many so that we could have salvation. One thing I want to do here is as I talk tonight, and I'm stressing the fact that we are laborers here together and we all have our place in the kingdom of God, I just also want to kind of give tribute to some of the things that the Lord has done. You know, sometimes you get discouraged and just wonder, you know, where we're heading or what's going on or why this isn't happening or that didn't happen or what all. But, you know, sometimes we get our eyes off the wonderful things that the Lord has done, how he has kept us, how he has supplied our needs, how he has given us even a wonderful team of people to keep this ministry going. If we're going to get right here at home, we're going to talk right now about this particular ministry that the Lord has blessed us with. And you know what? God has been so good because all the things that have happened, here we are. You all are sitting here tonight, and we have a wonderful online ministry. And you know what? It's all of God. This all could have fallen. It all could be gone. I mean, we could all be dispersed. Only God knows what could have happened. But here we are tonight, and we're here to praise the Lord. We're here to worship. We're here to learn. We're here to glean from God's Word. But I want to give tribute to the wonderful things that God has done. You know, I know Mike is gone tonight, but usually he's back in that room. He's there with you on the online ministry, and just very thankful for Mike. He's been a blessing to this ministry, he and Cynthia. I want to thank the Lord for that. And of course, tonight we have Sam doing double duty. Usually he's upstairs there recording, but tonight he's down in the little room too and going back and forth and all. But I do want to thank the Lord for the things that God has put in Sam's heart. And you know, God's used him to write the newsletter. And he's heading Last Trumpet Ministries and just doing so many things behind the scene. And I thank God for that. And then I thank God for Tim. And you know, here he is. He leads our services and he preaches on Sunday and assists in so many different ways. And that's all God's doings. God has put this together. And then I'm thankful for Jane, who coordinates so much there over at the office and puts your orders together if you're ordering and writes letters and keeps track of everything. And oh my, just so many details there with the printing of the newsletter and getting all those things done. And I thank God, you know, it's in place. And then there's Anna, who works particularly with the inmates. And you know, that is such a blessing. The Lord has given us a ministry where we can minister to those that are behind bars. And oh my, Sam. You know, I really thank God for that because Sam, is something wrong? I just think, you know, that's one thing the Lord has told us to do, to visit them that are in prison. And we can't always go to those particular places, but through the mail and through our ministry, we can help those that are in those places, and you know, I answer their questions from time to time, and even visit them in a case or so. But that's God who's enabled us and given us that ability to go forth with that ministry in the prisons. And then there's Vicki Bath. She works at home, and right now she's doing a work with the Revelation series. She's transcribing it. One day, perhaps the Lord tarries long enough, we're going to have a book. We're going to have those messages from Revelation on paper. Amen. And it's kind of neat the way the Lord used it. I know Brother Harry there over in the prison in Portage was so desperate to receive materials pertaining to the book of Revelation, and that got us going. That got us in the book of Revelation and transcribing that. And wow, I think it's going to be a real blessing to the kingdom of God. And then I want to thank God for Diana. And she does all the work there with cassette tapes. And I know that has been a ministry. And I was thinking earlier how she used to record from over there. I was listening to, you know, some of those older recordings, and you know, you could hear children and all that, because it wasn't quite as quiet as it usually is these days. But she did all that recording for us years ago, and that was a blessing. That was a work of God. It was something that she did for the kingdom of God's sake. And then, of course, here's Vicki, and she does all kinds of things too with the bookkeeping and phone calls and making appointments and helping us to coordinate our activities and, oh, just wherever she can. And I just thank the Lord. He's given us a team. He's put it together. It's all His work. And I just want to give God thanks for that, because, you know, it could have all. We could be dispersed. We could be someplace else tonight. We could have no church. We could be like so many other people. But God has kept us together. And then there are the behind-the-scenes people, too. And I want to thank God for all of you online that work so hard for the Lord. And Nancy, I just want to thank you, too, because I know you put a lot of recordings there on your website. And I know they've been a blessing to so many. In fact, I know after my telephone conversation today that I know Bill was telling how that when he was here, he and Shirley came here several years ago now to be baptized. Shirley in particular was baptized. Bill was already baptized in Jesus' name, I believe. But anyway, Bill at that point had a lot of questions that he wanted to ask Pastor. And it just didn't work out that there was that opportunity that he could ask Pastor. And of course, now we know it's not possible. But he's been listening to tapes from the past. And he says it's an amazing thing, because those questions that he had are all answered. He puts on in a tape, and there's the answer. And I think that's marvelous. The Lord has used this. And I just thank God. It's just such a blessing that we can, you know, go forth with that. And somebody has a burden to have those recordings. And, of course, we also offer many recordings from our ministry here. They're in the catalog. And Sam is continually trying to dig out old ones and put them on CD and make them available. And that's one of our works here that we're currently doing. But I thank God for that, and that God can use such things. And also, you women who work online to post the scriptures and every other detail, things that I don't even know about, I'm sure, for our online ministry, I want to thank you, because you too have a spot in God's kingdom and are doing a work. And of course, there's so many people that help us. They send articles, they send emails, they have suggestions, they send offerings to us. And this is all labors of love and things that people are doing for the kingdom of God's sake. And then most of all, I think, are those prayers that go up before the Lord for us. And, you know, I have the opportunity to talk to so many people from here and there, and that's one thing I hear. They're praying for us. Those wonderful people that we minister to, they pray for us. And I try to pray for them too, you know. And it's amazing how God puts people on our hearts. You know, we can just be doing the dishes or driving the car or going for a walk, and all at once people pop into our minds and we know we need to pray for them. You know, that's an important ministry. We all have that ability to pray, to bring others to Christ. And I think it's so precious. We are laborers together with Christ. And again, we all have just a little different job to do. We all are required to do something. God has called us all to do something, and we're all going to stand before God one of these days. We're going to give an account of what we've done in our lifetime, and surely we want to do the Lord's will. We want to be that faithful servant that didn't bury his talents in the earth, but instead used them and let the Lord multiply them for his namesake and for his glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to go back a little bit in the history of this church just a little bit tonight. Again, I'm not even quite sure why I'm doing this tonight, but this is what the Lord put in my heart. I just hadn't planned this at all until today after that telephone conversation, and the Lord just started talking to me. But back in 1974, you know, that we moved here to Beaver Dam, and we'd lived in Appleton a couple years, in Madison the year before, and here we came to bring forth a church, and it was quite an amazing thing because we decided to buy a house, and really, I marvel at it now because we honestly had no money. We really didn't have any money, but we just had faith that God was somehow going to give us a house. And you know what? God did it. He gave us a house. He really did, and I know prices were a lot less then. I think our house was $21,900 or something, you know, and but anyway, it was quite a marvel because I think like I said, we didn't have money for a down payment or anything. We hadn't saved. We're just had a really low income. In fact, we ended up in a HUD program, and they didn't want to accept us because they said our income was too low. But they kept on drawing our name out of the basket, and finally the head man came out and said, I don't care. I'm giving him that house. So the Lord gave us that house, and I remember crying out to the Lord when it looked like they were rejecting us all the time, saying, God, we need a place. We were planning to have church in that house. And I said, God, there's souls that need us, that we're coming here to win souls for your kingdom, Lord. And I just remember just petitioning the Lord. And it just seems like after that, everything went through and God gave us that house. God gave us that house. It was quite the beautiful story. And I do marvel how he even gave us that faith to go forward with that. But he did, and we did have that first year. We had church in our house, and it was quite a wonderful year. We had three families initially when we moved here, and the Lord began to move, and he began to bring other people in. And, oh, I don't know how many people we ended up baptizing. We had a baptismal tank in the basement, and we baptized a lot of people that first year. They just kept coming, and they would pray for the Holy Ghost, and God would fill many of them with the Holy Ghost. It was really a wonderful time, and we saw healings. I know there was a man who had epilepsy, and he had had it for years and years and years, maybe since a young child, and God gloriously delivered him from the epilepsy. He hadn't been able to drive because of it, and after due time, after he'd proven himself free of that epilepsy, he was able to get his driver's license. His whole life changed, you know, and God delivered him from cigarettes, he and his wife. I mean, they were chain smokers, and they came forward that one night. They stamped on those cigarettes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They denounced those cigarettes, and they threw them away. And you know what? God delivered them instantly. That desire went, and it never came back. And that's the power of our God. He can deliver to the uttermost. There is nothing too hard for him. And there are just other glorious things that the Lord did. I remember our baby was born, our first child, Ruth, was born 2 months after we moved here. And for a while there, when she was really young, she kept on getting bronchitis, it seemed like. And it was really scary because she was just little, and she was breathing really heavily. And, you know, we'd pray, and it'd go away, that it would come back. finally we just rebuked it in Jesus' name and said, don't come back. And you know what? The Lord took that from her and she never had it again. You know, and I saw so many things. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. And he is able to save to the uttermost. He is able to deliver to the uttermost. He is able to heal to the uttermost. And wow, he can fill you with the Holy Ghost. Believe me, he can. And that same night, this couple was delivered from the cigarettes. God also filled them with the Holy Ghost. They came up to the front, they lifted their hands, they cried out to the Lord, and he filled them with the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what, it happens. If you have faith towards God, he will fill you with the Holy Ghost. It's his promise, and he will do that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that's a little bit about our first year here in Beaver Dam. The next year we bought this church, and it was $10,000. It was an empty building. It had been owned by the Greek Orthodox people, and they were out of it. They didn't really have a need of a church here at that point, and it was empty. So the Lord moved on the situation, and we were able to purchase it for $10,000. And of course, we had to repair it, and we had to get down all the icons and all the other things that were typical of a Greek Orthodox church, and then pray and ask the Lord to cleanse it. But, you know, the Lord used this little building, and it still is, you know. And I'm so thankful for everything that happened, and God continued to work here in this little church, you know. He continued to use it, and as time went on, God began to show us things. We were, of course, part of that United Pentecostal Church organization initially when we came here. And as time went on, God began to show us things. We knew that, you know, Christmas was pagan there for a while, but it took us a while to completely realize that we had to give up every aspect of it. And the Lord dealt with us, and finally we threw the whole thing overboard, and wow, what a difference, what a change. But God did require that of us. And so that was one of the things that God showed us, and so many other things. He began to show us who true Israel was. Israel is the church of Jesus Christ today, and there's a difference. And he began to expose that rapture theory, and there are just so many things that God began to show us there in the later 70s and into the early 80s. And of course, as time went on, we did break our relationship with the United Pentecostal Church. We just found so many things in God's Word that they didn't teach or accept, and so it was necessary for us to show that as God was showing us those things. And I believe it was in 1981 that we left that organization. But the thing is that after we left it, people in the church, there were several of them that left also. They, you know, they, I guess their faith was in that. But God still used us, and you know, we were maybe down to just a few families. I don't know how many times this happened that, you know, the church would be built up and God would work and people would be saved, and then all at once something would happen, some kind of schism in the church, I suppose, and people would leave, and then we'd be back down to maybe three families or something. But then after due time, God would begin to work again, and he'd bring us more people. And I don't know how many times that has happened, but, you know, I've seen God proving himself to be faithful every single time. He's never left us. He's never failed us. And then about that time that we left that organization, Pastor Meyer started writing the newsletter, The Last Trumpet, and it was in 1981, I think. Our daughter Becky was just a wee baby at that time, and I can remember some of the people, they were actually in the church at that time, just kind of mocking and saying, well, what are you doing now? I mean, we'd lost a lot of people, we'd left the organization, and they just thought, oh boy, here's another screwy idea, another goofy thing that, you know, we're trying to do now. But wow. The Lord blessed that newsletter, that Last Trumpet newsletter. It went beyond anything we could have ever imagined, you know, and pretty soon it was all over. In fact, what happened, there was a young man who was attending the church here, and he decided to send the newsletter on to another ministry, another publication, and they liked that newsletter. They liked the article in it, and they also published it, and pretty soon others had read it, and we were hearing from them, and suddenly we were hearing from many people in the United States, and then even around the world. And, you know, it had been a thrilling thing. But I just remember how, wow, initially how some people thought, oh, wow, well, this is somebody else, you know, this is another one of those things that they didn't think would work. But you know what? If God is in it, it works. You know, if God is for us, who can be against us? And, you know, it's not how people think or how people imagine. And sometimes even we ourselves, we think God's going to do something one particular way. Well, I'll tell you what, our God is full of surprises. And you can't say he's going to do something one particular way. He may do it altogether different. You know, his ways are not our ways. They're higher than our ways. And, you know, he knows the end from the beginning. And, wow, he does things so that we might grow thereby and we might increase in faith and that he might be glorified, because anything we do for Christ is not because of our works or not because of our ability, but because of his enablement and his desire and his will. So praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So I am thanking the Lord for everything that he has done here and how he's used this newsletter. And of course, particularly after Pastor left the university, he did work for the University of Wisconsin system for 10 years. And in the late 90s, he felt like he needed to leave that place and just work for the Lord. I mean, things were pretty complicated at that time, working a full-time job and traveling, commuting, and having all those other obligations was very challenging. But he wondered financially if he'd be able to make it, you know. I mean, several children in the family and our church here and all of that. But it was an amazing thing, because after that decision was made, God began to bless our ministry much more greatly than ever before. It was amazing how it began to grow after that point. And I know Pastor had worried that we hadn't paid off our house, the mortgage on our house. But the thing was, shortly after he left the university, we were able to pay off our house. And it was all the hand of God. I mean, he just proved himself so faithful. The things that we could never have done in ourselves, he proved himself by it. And, you know, he gave us what we had need of. And he allowed this ministry to grow like never before. It was an amazing thing. And you know what? The years brought forth many visitors, and I, you know, many of you online have visited here, and many of you have been baptized, and some of you have come here to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and all of that has been so precious, or maybe for a special prayer, or just even to get to know us. And, you know, we've had the privilege of having people from near and far. You know, I remember people from England, and man from France, and people from Australia, and I believe other places that the Lord sent, you know, over here. I remember years ago there was a man from Norway that came, one of our first visitors. I think his name was Lars, and I remember him coming to search us out initially there in the beginning of our ministry, of Last Trumpet. But anyway, God has been so faithful, and he has kept us, and, you know, in spite of many changes. As I said, there were times that people would come and then people would leave. And it always seemed like God was always weeding his garden here. You know, it was like you just never quite knew just what God was going to do next. But we'd go through those dry periods and just wonder and just wait on God and think, well, wow, we're back to small again. But then the Lord would begin to move again and give an increase. And you knew it was God's work. And yet that he had work for us to do, that it would continue. So praise the Lord. We have a very faithful God. And to this day, I'm thankful he has kept us. It's only, again, like I've said, it's only God who has kept us going and who has given us an increase, who has made us therefore laborers together with him. But you know, we all know the story here. We know that how back there in 2010 in June that God called Pastor home. And you know, it was something that certainly we never could have imagined. You know, I just, of course, I'll never forget that day when, you know, we were all there, and you know, I really knew it was time to turn off that ventilator and take the feeding tube out. He was starting to stir. I knew there was something different, and of course, you know, we had hoped that, you know, the Lord would do a miraculous work and bring him back, and there were many fastings and prayers going on. I know our whole family was gathered there in that room, and I know several of you were outside, you know, also praying and waiting, you know, with us, and it's just so dear, just, you know, looking back and thinking of the wonderful dedication of all of you, you know, at that time, you know, there waiting and praying and asking the Lord to be merciful. But we know that God's will was that he took him home, that he took Pastor home. And, you know, the only conclusion that I've ever had is that his work was over, that he had accomplished the things that God had wanted him to accomplish. So he took him home. And, you know, I just sometimes what happens with me is I just kind of envy that, you know, just to have your labors over and all of that done. But you know what? The Lord still has much for us to do. And I know I had said this many times before all of this happened, that I thought my greatest days were yet ahead. And, you know, I've had to ponder that and just, oh boy, I wonder about it sometimes. But you know what? I'm still going to say it. With the Lord's help, my greatest days are yet ahead in the kingdom of God. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe that there is still work that we could do for the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I, you know, I think after Pastor went on, I remember it came to me that I should ask Sam if he could write the newsletter. And the thing was, God had already talked to Sam about writing the newsletter. And it was a confirmation to him then when I asked him. And then one of those last times, I think it was our last prayer meeting at our house before Pastor went into the hospital. We had our prayer meeting at the house at that time, and there's just a few of us. Brother Tim and Stephen was there too, and maybe Brian, and of course I was there. And one thing that was requested at that point by Pastor was that we continue his ministry. That we continue his ministry. And he'd already asked me those 2 weeks before to teach on Wednesday nights. But then that Saturday, he asked us specifically if anything happened to him to continue his ministry. And praise the Lord, I do marvel. You know, these things have not been easy. We've gone through a lot of hard things, a lot of struggles, and just points where you just didn't even know what was up, and all you could do is cry out to the Lord. I mean, really cry like I've never cried before. Pray like I've never prayed before. I mean, this has not been easy by any means. It's been one new thing after another, you know, and new things to ponder and new territory and new struggles and new conflicts and all kinds of things. But you know what? God has been with us. And, you know, I do marvel, like I mentioned, of how the Lord has kept us going, how he's put this all in place, this ministry. And I think everybody that's here, it's because God has called us to be here. He's put us together as a body. You know, it's not just, you know, something that happened. It's by the grace of God. It's by his mercy that he's brought us together to be his children as a body of Christ, to do a work for him. And, you know, it's just so many things that truly only God could do. But I do want to just also thank, you know, I mentioned how God had called Samuel to write the newsletter, and again how, you know, he used me to ask him if, you know, he would write it. I so felt that on my heart. And there was another aspect of this ministry that was so important, and I can remember just praying and ask God that he would send somebody to help me with this ministry here. And I think we were singing one evening, Brother Tim, and I just remember the Lord put it on my heart to ask Timothy if he would ever consider preaching here. And I know Tim was, oh wow, that was nothing he had really planned to do. You know, Tim did not know what he was getting into when he moved here. You know, it's all kind of a marvel, because I know he really wanted to come here for a long time, and God had put that in his heart. And finally, the Lord did give him a job here, so he felt like he could. And I know even before that, he'd always ask, you know, when we were talking on the phone and all, if, you know, we really felt it was God's will and that, you know, it'd be okay if he came, you know. But it was God's will, and God sent you here, Tim. He did, you know. And it was, you know, just one time we were practicing music, and like I said, I asked him if he'd ever be inclined to preach. And, you know, I know it took a little while, and the voice of the Lord and time and all those things, but, you know, wow, a lot has happened since those moments, you know. A lot has happened, and boy, I tell you, there's been a lot of changes in you, Brother Tim, and it's all of God, you know. And I just see the hand of the Lord so much in what he has done, how he has kept this ministry going. You know, again, I know this is truly only things that God could do, that, you know, God would put things in order according to his will. And, you know, as individuals, we all have something that we need to do for the Lord. Like I said earlier, we're all going to stand before him. We're all going to give an account of our life. And he's given all of us abilities. You know, it might start out with one little thing. If there's only one thing you could do, maybe it's prayer, for example. We can all pray. We can all do that. We all need to pray. We all need to be intercessors. But if you can do that for the Lord, if you can do that faithfully for the Lord, I dare say he'll bless you with something else that you can do for the Lord. It may be a testimony, or it may be a letter that you write, or some kind of word of encouragement, or, oh, I just don't know. Just there's many things. Maybe it's a song that you can say. Maybe the Lord will give you songs. But there are things that we all can do for the Lord. We are laborers together with him. We are all God's husbandry. We're part of his garden. And we've all got to have our place. I don't know, you know, if we are a tulip or a daffodil or a rose. But you know what? We all have a place in God's husbandry. We all have a work to do for the Lord, and we're all part of his building. We all are significant in the kingdom of God. And you know what? We better do what God has told us to do. We better spend time for the Lord, because that's going to count. When we stand before God, it's not these little old things, how many books we read, or how many people we knew, or how important we were, or how much money we had. None of those things are going to matter at all. It's what did we do for God? Yeah. That's what we're going to have to give an account of. What did we do for God? And when we stand before him and he looks at us, oh my, we better have something that we could give to him, something that counts, something that matters, something that's important. Praise the Lord. You know, we're not to despise the day of small things. You know, sometimes you think we're going through a time when, you know, not much is happening, or, you know, things seem kind of slow. But you know what? If we look at the book of Zechariah, the 4th chapter, we can just read of a little incident from back in earlier days there. Zechariah, the 4th chapter, and just going to just ponder this a bit. I'm going to look at the 9th verse here. Well, let's look at the 8th verse first. It says, Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, His hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Zerubbabel was one of the captives of Babylon. He had been led away, and he was acting as governor. And when it came time for them to restore the house of the Lord, Cyrus gave them special graces, and they were able to come back. It was Zerubbabel who led the party, and there were the high priests that came with him, and also others, the Levites that came with him, and other heads of the households from the tribes of Benjamin and Judah that came back with Zerubbabel into Jerusalem. And initially what he did is he got the altar ready. Again, the altar had been torn down, and they fixed an altar. They brought it back. They restored it, and then, of course, they laid burnt offerings upon it. But then the next thing that they did is they laid the foundation for the house of the Lord, because it had all been destroyed when the Babylonians came in and destroyed Jerusalem. But anyway, Zerubbabel was used of God to lead that. And then there was a time of discouragement. There were several years where the work just stayed and nothing happened. And then, thank God, as the time of Darius the Persian, when he came into rule, with encouragement, Zerubbabel was able to encourage the people, and they built that house of God again. They finished it, and that it was accomplished. It was done in a relatively short time, but there was a whole period of time where the project laid still. But thank God, it was completed, and Zerubbabel was able to lead that way there. And so it was a major accomplishment, something wonderful. So verse 9 is mentioning it here in Zechariah 4. It says, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. Yes, initially he laid the foundation, and then his hands finished it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. But verse 10 says, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. And that portion of the verse, who hath despised the day of small things. Everything starts small. There are moments when, if you're starting over, and that's what we have felt about this ministry since Pastor died, that we were starting over. That was the thought that came to me. It wasn't going to be easy. I knew that right from the start. I knew it wasn't going to be easy. It would have to take much help from the Lord. It would have to be His work and His encouragement and His mercy that would take us through these times. But yet, I knew our Lord was able. And no matter if things are slow, if they seem small, it's not a time to despise. It's a good time. It's a time that the Lord has allowed. It's a growing time that we all have been given to grow by. And it says here, for who hath despised the day of small things? The days of small things are very significant and very important in the kingdom of God. And it says, for they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. A plummet is a weight attached to the end of a plumb line, and you could put that down into a hole and measure by it. And the weight, of course, would keep it down there. That's what a plummet was. But then it talks about those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. And I believe that is speaking of the Lord's ability to see all things. Those eyes of the Lord, seven being that perfect number, seeing all things and recording all things, knowing all things, the eyes of the Lord running to and fro through the whole earth. But praise the Lord, there are times of small things, and it's not a time to despise. It's a time to rejoice and trust the Lord, realizing that if God be for us, who can be against us? Praise the Lord, as Zerubbabel was used to lead the captives back to Jerusalem, they didn't know what was ahead of them. Jerusalem was in ruins when they came back. There was so much work to do. And again, the work was initially started, and then They were discouraged, and it was delayed for years and years. And then finally, after 16 years, I believe, it was finally completed. The Lord saw that it was finished, and what a precious thing it was. It was accomplished. The Lord did the work. And again, here, this is God's work. This, you that are sitting here, and you that are online, and those that participate with this ministry, you are all a part of God's work. And you know what? The Lord doesn't want us to sit still. The Lord doesn't want us to be lazy. The Lord doesn't want us to give up. There is a great need to go forward and do the will of the Lord. And in going forward, I want us to go to Philippians, the third chapter, and read just a couple verses here from Philippians, the third chapter, verse 13. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, this means that there's no looking back. I am so grateful for the wonderful things that the Lord has done in our past. You know, there's a great legacy that's been left, and the Lord's going to use that legacy. I believe as time continues, and you know, I think those tapes, those recordings that have been left behind by Pastor are going to continue to be a blessing, and I thank God for that. It's a wonderful legacy. I mean, what more could you hope to do than to work for the Lord and then have it even to continue after you've left this world? I mean, wow, what a wonderful, wonderful thing. But there is a time for us to go forward. We have to forget the things that are behind us, the things that are discouraging, the things that we regret. All of those kind of things have to be left behind. There's no turning around. There's no going back. You can't change the past. But there is a great need to reach forth unto those things which are before. And here's Paul. He's talking about going forward to apprehend, to seize possession of, to obtain. He's talking about pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I think that's our challenge today, to go forward, to continue to press forward. As we labor together here for Christ, the Lord has called us all to do His work. Again, we all have different aspects in God's kingdom. We all have different abilities and jobs. We're all not the same, and how truly boring it would be if we were. But God has given us all our several abilities and gifts so that we can all work together as a team to do the will of God, to go forward, to press toward that mark for the prize of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's no looking back. There's a continual need to go forward. And praise the Lord. I thank God. I thank God for the little signs that He's given us. I know today I had a telephone call from a woman here in Beaver Dam, and it was so amazing. She just recently came across our website and came across our Easter track and some of our other materials and discovered, wow, these things are not Christian, they're pagan. And she's embraced that. In fact, she's already gone so far as to tell her relatives that she's no longer going to observe Christmas or Easter. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And it was just really neat. And she was wondering, you know, here she is in Beaver Dam. She couldn't believe it, you know. That. So it happened, and Lord willing, I'm going to meet with her this next week. I'm going to talk with her and just praise the Lord. I just pray the Lord, pray that the Lord will use that. And then Saturday, it was kind of amazing. We had trouble with that thermostat back there. It was stuck on 66 degrees, and thank God we still had some heat in here. But it wouldn't, you know, if we tried to raise that temperature, it wouldn't move. So Saturday, I'd called the repair people, and they rather promptly sent a man over here to help us with the situation, to look it over, decide what was wrong. And it was decided that, yeah, the thermostat was worn out, and he put a new one in, therefore. But I had opportunity to talk to him about the Lord. And he said, you know, he would love to come and bring his family here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That was just really beautiful. And, you know, I guess it might be a couple weeks ago now. Tim and I were in Madison and in a store, and lo and behold, I never quite know what's going to happen to us. You know, we always pray and ask the Lord to use us. And lo and behold, kind of met a man there in the grocery aisle and started talking to him and found out he was from Iran. Yeah, and, you know, got talking to him a bit. And, you know, ended up telling him a bit about our ministry and our work here. And, you know, he too expressed some desire to maybe come visit us. Praise the Lord. So I know there's a stirring that the Lord is working. Sunday, I just had a real privilege. Sam gave me a note after the service and told me to call Danny. And his father was dying. And with the Lord's help, we were down here in the church base for a while. And then I really felt I need to go call him. And I did, and had just a wonderful privilege. His dad has Lou Gehrig's disease, and it's probably at his final stage. What has happened, he's lost almost all his abilities, his ability to move or to talk and all those sort of things, but his eyes had been working, and they've been able to communicate somewhat by him just, you know, looking with his eyes and if they would write things on paper, you know, they could kind of communicate that way. But anyway, what had recently happened is his eyelids closed and would not open. So here is this man, and, you know, it doesn't seem good at all. And he's, you know, he's just being fed mechanically. And here's Danny, and he wanted prayer. And the thing was, he put me on the speakerphone, and I was able to minister to this man. And, you know, I was able to talk to him about the Lord and how we can give our hearts to the Lord and how we, you know, the Lord loves us and came here to live and die for us and all those beautiful things in the gospel. And then I was able to pray with him. And, you know, again, here's this man. He can't really communicate much, but there were tears running down his face. There were tears running down his cheeks. And all I could say is, praise the Lord. It was just such a beautiful thing. Danny was worshiping the Lord and praising God and just so thankful. You know, our God is able to do exceedingly above that which we ask or think. If we can just have faith in God and hang on to his promises, there is nothing too hard for our God. He is for us. If we are his children, he is for us. He died to give us victory over the world, over sin, over our flesh, over our desires. He came to change us, to make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. He came to fill us with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And there's nothing too hard for our God. He came to seek and to save those that are lost. And you know what? That door of salvation is still open. I can give testimony to that. Just having these last few days had this privilege of speaking to certain people, realizing God is still calling. He is still standing at the door of the heart. He is still there knocking. He is still inviting people to open that door and let him in. And I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord. There is going to be a time when it's going to be too late to labor for the Lord. It's going to be too late to give your heart to God. It's going to be too late. It's going to be over. But right now, that door is still open. We still have an open door. We still have time. And I want to thank God. He has privileged us. He has given us opportunity. He has put things in place. God has gone before us. He is the good shepherd. He knows how to lead his sheep. He knows how to get us home. We're secure in his hands. We're blessed. We're his people. He's chosen us from the foundation of the world. And what a privilege it is. But praise the Lord, we still have opportunity. Oh my, we have need to go forward. We need to say like Paul, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, all those distractions, all those discouragements, all those things that went wrong back there, forget them. They're in the past. The blood of Jesus Christ covers them. We are redeemed by the Lord, and we are set free. And it says, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And let's do that. Let's press like never before. Let's make a difference. Let's be laborers together with Christ. Again, we all have a mission. We all have something we can do for the Lord. And it's not too late. He's still offering us an open door. He's still offering us opportunity to seek him while he may be found, calling upon him while he is near. We can still find the Lord. We can still have salvation. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful. Let's just praise the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. We worship you. We praise you. We exalt you, Lord. Oh, God, there's none like unto you at all, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you would help us, oh, Lord. Help us to do the work that you called us to do, Lord. Oh, God, help us to go forward. Help us to press forward, Lord. Oh, help us to press toward that mark of the prize of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Oh, wow, if you worship the Lord, if you give him your heart, he will make great changes in your life. There's just something about it when we raise our hands unto God. Oh, wow, it's like giving our heart to the Lord, you know? It's like crying out to him. It's lifting up those holy hands without wrath and doubting. We lift up our heart with our hands. We draw nigh unto God. If we draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto us. Praise the Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, God. God. Oh, God, there is none like unto you. Oh, Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I thank God. He sets us free. He brings us together. He keeps us. And wow, we are laborers together with Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.